Vijay Prashad, Chris Hedges, Arundhati Roy, and Roxanne Dunbar-Ortiz. And since its inception, AR has made a special effort to record and archive Noam Chomsky's work. To access our complete audio and book catalog, just go to our website, alternativeradio.org. Again, our website where we are podcasting, alternativeradio.org. To get copies of today's program, Noam Chomsky, Racing to the Precipice, and for his books, Chronicles of Dissent and Notes on Resistance, just call us 1-800-444-1977. That's 1-800-444-1977. Or you can go online, our website, alternativeradio.org. That's alternativeradio.org. Printed transcripts, PDFs, and MP3s of this program are free of charge. Just call us at 1-800-444-1977. Series theme music is performed by the Kronos Quartet from Pieces of Africa. Joe Ritchie is our general manager and editor. I'm David Barsamian. Thank you for listening.
Sweetest of love, I found out, came upon me when I was so sweet. Sweetest of love, guiding us through, came upon me.
You are listening to KBOO Portland on 90.7 FM and streaming online at kboo.fm.
KBOO Community Radio is listener-sponsored. That's right. 80% of our funding comes from donations from listeners just like you. You can always make a donation to help keep KBOO independent and non-commercial at kboo.fm/give. Right now, during our end-of-year drive, is the perfect time to contribute. Give now and help us reach our goal of $70,000 by December 31st. Make your tax-deductible year-end donation at kboo.fm/give today.
Studios of KPFA in Berkeley, California, it's Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. My name is Mike Biggs. Today on the program, we're proud to present the latest episode of the Electronic Intifada podcast with host and producer Nora Barrows Friedman. All this straight ahead on Flashpoints. Stay tuned. And you're listening to Flashpoints on Pacifica Radio. On today's program, we are proud to present the latest episode of the Electronic Intifada podcast with host and producer Nora Barrows Friedman. Listen to this.
The Zionist movement by the British occupation destroyed not only the stones, destroyed our life.
The Electronic Intifada.
The Electronic Intifada.
The Electronic Intifada.
This is the Electronic Intifada podcast.
I'm Nora Barrows Friedman.
And I'm Asa Winstanley.
We turn to the situation in Lifta, the Palestinian village in Jerusalem that was ethnically cleansed in 1948. The Israel Land Authority, a government agency which functions to push Palestinians off their land and lease it to Jewish Israeli settlers, announced in May that it would open bids from real estate development companies to build settlement colonies and hotels on the ruins of Lifta. Palestinians have urged UNESCO to intervene. This is not the first time Israel has attempted to demolish the village. As architect Antoine Raffoul wrote 10 years ago in the Electronic Intifada, since its depopulation in 1948 to 1949, Lifta has been kept deserted by the Israeli authorities and has faced demolition by speculative developers. As a last act of architectural violation, Israelis have roamed the village and destroyed the elegant domed roofs in an attempt to prevent a return by Lifta's legitimate owners. Joining us to talk about Lifta and the fight to protect it is Omar Al-Ghubari, a staff member of Zohrot, an organization promoting acknowledgement and accountability for the ongoing injustices of the Nakba. Also with us is Yaqub Oda of the Commission to Protect the Heritage and Culture of Displaced Villages. He is originally from Lifta. Yaqub and Umar, thank you so much for joining us on the Electronic Intifada podcast.
Thank you very much for inviting us.
Yaqub, let's start with you. You're originally from Lifta. Talk about what you remember growing up in the village and what happened in 1948 when you were just a child.
I born in Lifta. I remember the beautiful life, Lifta. I remember my family, hug of my parents, the kids that I played with them in the water spring and in the gardens that we named it Janayin Paradises. I remember my school. I remember Lifta, everything in Lifta. That time, the life was so simple. So Lifta was my world. Lifta, I remember especially the area where I was living. Our house was the most closed house to the water spring. We have a house, two floors. The aliyah, the salon, with a veranda. From the veranda, we can watch the three directions in Lifta, east, west, and north, the movement in the life in the village. And we have other two rooms down. I remember we have chicken. We used to go down and take the eggs and drink it direct without. I remember the people in the gardens. Thursday, Friday, it's off. So some of them used to sleep there and cook from plants there. So you can smell and know what they are cooking, the natural smell for that. I remember my mother when she go to Tabun. I catch her dress and go with her to Tabun and make me small cake when I was 3-4 years. But when I was 5-6 years, I remember my mother when she leave the Tabun, the bakery, and the bread on her head on an ashtray like the sun. The smell of the bread, Tabun bread, is a different thing, so delicious to eat, delicious meal to eat. Bread from Tabun and oil olive and za'atar. I remember that beautiful life, and I remember also the miserable life condition caused by the Zionist armed groups that they destroyed our life. I remember when they began to shoot our house face to face with the upper part of Lifta. We were living in the roots, down in the lower part. So I remember that. I remember one day we were in an old building down far from in the night, far from shooting. And I remember also when we couldn't go to school, I was so sad that I cannot go to school. The school in the upper part, between the upper and down also. So I think Lifta village yani has its speciality. The position, the location of Lifta, its location so strategy. It is the main enter or gate for Jerusalem. So any want to leave Jerusalem or come to Jerusalem should pass Lifta, the upper part. So the Zionist armed gangs put Lifta on the first point on their list to kick out. And this is yani not only the gangs, the leaders, the Zionist leaders, Ben Gurion, they said we can't yani do this or that without kicking the people. He moved his hands like this and kicked them out. Till now, this is yani a policy for the Zionist movement in Palestine. I remember yani all these things. I remember one time my mother was yani preparing to heat the room. The gangs began to shoot. I was with my small brother, Ayub. He shouted, "Mama, mama, they shooted us, they shooted us." Our mother took us to the corner inside the house under a table so as to protect us. I remember these things, and I remember also one time my father came and carried my small sister on his shelf and caught the small brother with his hand, and we followed him in the valley, far from the gangs. Because the gangs at the beginning, they controlled the upper part. Physically, after they bombed 20 houses. And as said the oral historical men, yani Ellen Babe, Benny Morris, they said they bombed the houses so as to cleansing the people from the area. So, and this is what happened. Most of the Palestinian went down to Lifta, some to Jerusalem. But after that, 29 of December 1947, they controlled the upper part, the gate, the western gate for Jerusalem. Day after day, they became stronger more and more. Why? Because the British army want to leave. So they moved the military equipment to the Zionist armed gangs So they became able to control also the bypass road that Liftawis founded after they couldn't go to Jerusalem in the way that they used to go and come. We became Liftawis under siege. They sent some of the kids, women to the caves after it wasn't safety. So after that, yani, under shooting, they took shelter in near village like Nabi Samuel, Beit Hanina, Shafat, and after by yani. I can say in beginning of March, yani the second half of April, February, and the beginning of March, Lifta was completely under siege. So we went with our father in the valley. We climbed to Jerusalem Yaffa Road. There we found a truck. In the back of the truck, there were four families' children. And we became the fifth family children. Our father left us and went home. He remained with the resistance people, with the fighters or who struggle to defeat on Lifta and the area till Deir Yassin. We went, the truck moved to Albira, where we were only, yani, we have nothing, only the clothes we dress. We have nothing, only the key with our father, and we became, yani, in Albira refugees. In one hour, we became refugees. We were kings in our village. Everything we need, we have from our land. Everything. Plants, fruits, vegetables, especially we have running water, yani, always. And also, yani, we have animals, cows, sheep, we have meat, we have milk, we have eggs, we have. Their life was so simple. This is what we want. We do not know television, nor laptop, nor anything. So I say, yani, we were kings in our village, and in 1 hour we became refugees. Next day we were knocking, yani, houses. We need food. What I want to say, Lifta wasn't stones. Lifta was alive. People are working in the gardens, others taking water to home, ladies, yani, bringing water from the water spring or going to the market. Other students going to school, some going to his, as an employee, going to his work. This is the life. Yani, that is planting, that is gathering the corn or gathering the olive fruits. This is the life. So that the Zionist gangs or the Zionist movement by the British occupation destroyed not only the stones, destroyed our life, destroyed our social life, our economic life, our culture life, our political everything they destroyed. This is what means Nakba. Nakba not means that we are in conflict about this house about or about that land, as that wife of Joseph Bint al-Rais al-Amriki al-Sabik. قال هذا صراع على ال
كوشنير
as what Kushner said, that it's conflict on a piece of land or houses or this. He's stupid. He do not know what means lifta, yani case. And so this is the thing that this is my memory. This is my history. This is my life. Two ways, the beautiful life that I dream, and work also. Struggle to restore this beautiful life, to go back home, to plan our village, to renovate our houses, and to live in our family. Like everyone under the sun, as he, yani, he's proud with his home, he's proud with his town, he proud with his country, and we Palestinian, Liftawi, Yaqub, is the same. This is the thing, not only I believe this, this is also my sons, Liftawi's children, yani, studied the story that no way to forget, no way to forgive, yani, that they made the Nakba, share the Nakba, till we go back home, till we go back.
Thank you, Yaqub. Omar, you know, when just a cursory look at the way that Israeli media and the government and you know, American or European corporate media as well, that when they talk about Lifta, they call it abandoned or an ancient village, you know, like Roman era, in order to, you know, obscure and erase deliberately the history, the living history that Yaqub is talking about. Can you give us a sense of politically what's happening right now in Lifta and how the Israeli government is once again trying to erase the history there and make it impossible for people like Yaqub to go back to their homes?
Yeah. First of all, thank you again for organizing this interview. After the words of Mr. Yaqub Audi, I'm speechless. He's the best person to talk about everything in Lifta. He's actually my mentor. The things that I know about Lifta, I learned from him. Mm-hmm. I joined him many times in his tours in Lifta, and he joined our tours with our groups when we organized as Zohrot an activity and tours in Lifta. And so really, we are blessed to have this young 80 years old man. I was this morning in Lifta. This was the last time that I visited Lifta. I had a group, German group with me, in order to tell them the story of Lifta. The last 2 weeks also were very busy with groups, activists, Palestinians and internationals. Even some Israelis asked to come to Lifta to learn about the village. The work that we try to do in Lifta, it is a political work. It's a kind of resistance against the consciousness and the blindness and the ignorance that the Israeli government is interested to shape or to deliver to the public. We try to open their eyes and to raise the awareness about what really happened to the village of Lifta. By the way, as Yaqub said, as one example of hundreds of Palestinian towns, it's not the only exceptional case. And when you realize that it's not exceptional, you can understand that the Nakba meaning is the Israeli systematic policy of ethnic cleansing of the Palestinian people from everywhere in order to succeed or to achieve the goal of creation Jewish state. I can say from my experience, the Nakba was not as a result of a war, was not as a reaction of any objection of the Palestinians of any plan. It was a need and a step that the Zionist movement and the State of Israel must do in order to create a Jewish state. It was not as a result of the Jewish state reaction creation. It was in order to create a Jewish state. So it must be done, which actually fits any colonial project in the history that we know. The crimes are part of the plan. It's built in over there. Even the Israelis like to avoid that or to deny that they did the Nakba. I'm happy to say that through our work in destroyed Palestinian villages and of course in Lifta, we managed politically to raise the awareness and to let people face and be challenged with the stories and the facts and the ruins of each destroyed Palestinian town. And because of that, they cannot avoid that it happened. We just ask the simple questions. What these houses, empty houses, are doing over here? Where are the people? What happened to the people? Why they left? And why they didn't come back? And we try through this activity and these tools to challenge the Israeli myths and the Israeli arguments that they usually bring to us. Okay, it was a war, and in every war there are victims, and it happened, and it's happening everywhere. But it's not the fact. The example of Lifta is very important to prove that the ethnic cleansing policy started very early in the end of 1947. The expulsion of Palestinian communities did not start after the war between Israel and the Arab armies that started in May 15th. When we reached May 15th, we are already with about 40% of the Palestinians were expelled, and 40% of the towns were already occupied, and Lifta one of them. Even more that the Israeli argument regarding the partition plan, that the Palestinian side rejected the partition plan. And we see that on the ground, also the Zionist militias didn't go according to the partition plan, because Lifta was outside of the offered Jewish state. And they started to attack Lifta in December 1947. And maybe what Yaqub missed to mention, that the attacks were very brutal. This was a massacre in the coffee shop in the upper part of Lifta. Israeli militia members of the Lehi came to the coffee shop and shooted the people and murdered 6 people and wounded 7. This was the first brutal attack on civilians in the houses in Lifta, and this caused a gradual expulsion of families that they were close to the areas that were dangerous to live close to the Jewish neighborhoods. The Israeli government don't want people to know these facts, and during the last 73 years did the stages and the steps that it did in other places, in other Palestinian places. It started with the expulsion of the Palestinian families. By the way, David Ben-Gurion said in February 1948 regarding Lifta, when you come to Jerusalem through Lifta and Sheikh Badr and Jaffa Street and King George Street, they are all clean of strangers, 100% Jews. And he meant the Palestinians, he meant Yaqub Odeh is not living at his home. So the Israelis wanted to clean up the area of Palestinians, to expel the Palestinians, and they don't want to acknowledge that. They don't want to teach their kids even in the schools, in the Israeli schools, what they did and why they did this expulsion. They don't want to acknowledge that they made war crimes and crimes against humanity through the Nakba, by expulsion the Palestinians, beside the massacres that they did in some dozens of places. The Israeli mainstream media will not talk about the houses in Lifta as a Palestinian houses of Palestinian heritage. They don't want to talk about the mosque in very bad situation in the center of Lifta, and they don't want to talk about the desecrated cemetery of Lifta. The people of Lifta asked many times the Israeli authorities to protect the cemetery and to build a fence around the cemetery, and they refused. We talk, the Israeli television station, the official one, operated for tens of years in the land of Lifta, few hundred meters of the cemetery of Lifta. In this TV station, every Jewish cemetery that was vandalized in far away in the United States or any place, it will jump to the prime time news in Israel that Jewish tombs or Jewish cemeteries were vandalized somewhere. But they are living on a land, and they can even sometimes see the Palestinian cemeteries from the window of their TV office. They don't talk about it. So the level of ignorance among the Israelis in the whole levels, in the official circles and the public circles, and the among the media and the curriculum in the schools, everywhere, it's almost complete. They don't want to talk about the Nakba and their part in creating the Nakba. The next step will be the Israeli decision in June 1948. This is very important to remember, that the Israeli government had a discussion about the Palestinian refugees already in June, in the middle of the so-called the war and the expulsions. And they decided not to allow them to come back. And they gave orders to the soldiers on the lines to shoot people who try to come back to their homes. And thousands of Palestinians had been killed just because they wanted to step back to their homes, sometimes just to take some food that they forgot in the house, or stuff, or a bed, or something from their own land. The next step will be to Judaize and Hebraize and Israelize the landscape, to make it Jewish, to make it for the Israelis, which means to erase and to destroy the Palestinian identity of the place. Lifta, in the first stage, the houses of Lifta were given to Israeli Jewish families that immigrated to the country in the early 50s and the end of 1949. So imagine that Jewish families colonizing the Palestinian houses while the Palestinian families are waiting a few hundred meters from there, some of them, or in Ramallah, not so far from there, to come back or to return to their property. So this is the ongoing policy of colonizing and destroying the Palestinian identity of the place, expresses actually the ongoing Nakba. Nakba is not a historical event that happened in 1948 and ended there. It's still ongoing. In the 70s, the Jewish families left the houses of Lifta. They claimed new flats, new buildings. They didn't like the living in Lifta. They missed, actually. They just lost the opportunity to continue to colonize the amazing places and houses of Lifta. But we know that in the early 70s, 90% of the Jewish families will leave the houses of Lifta. They moved to a new public housing that built by the Israeli government. And the area of Lifta declared as an open space, open park, garden, without touching anything in it, but also without taking care of the Palestinian houses and the heritage. And they even made a damage for the whole Palestinian houses by making a hole in the headstone of the roofs. They took out the headstones, which is the crucial and the most important stone in this kind of structure and architecture in Lifta. So they wanted the houses to be cracked in order to destroy them somewhere. In the years of 2004, that there was a plan published by the Israeli authorities in order to build an Israeli Jewish neighborhood in Lifta, which means when the Israelis talk about building neighborhoods, it means they are going to destroy something. It means destruction of dozens of Palestinian houses that's still standing in the center of the village of Lifta. Thanks to the campaign that Yaqub Odi and the representatives of Lifta refugees led, they succeeded to freeze or to stop the plan in 2014, and the Israeli court at 2012, and the Israeli court sent the authorities to make the archaeological survey that they missed to do, that they didn't do according to the Israeli law. But unfortunately, they did that. They finished in 2018, and the report it was prepared. And since then, we didn't hear about the steps that the authorities want to do till 2 months ago. We knew about through the Israeli newspapers and the decision of the Israeli Jerusalem municipality that they want to renew the plan of destruction of Lifta and building a new Israeli neighborhood. They talk about building about 260 luxury apartments and villas, building a hotel and a museum and a mall in the historical Lifta, which is actually make Lifta under threat and under serious dangers to be erased totally. By the way, when we talk about Lifta today, we talk about only about the center and the oldest part of the village. This is the root of the village that Yaqub mentioned. But Lifta was much wider and bigger than that area. And the other parts of Lifta, no one is talking about them. They had completely Israelized and Judaized. They are under the Israeli neighborhoods of Romema and the Israeli parliament and the Israeli High Court for Justice. Imagine the High Court for Justice is built on a land that belonged to refugees. So all these parts of Lifta are totally erased, but this what remained from Lifta as a symbol of the heritage of the people of Lifta, at least we must do what we can do to do our best in order to protect this part of the village and to try to keep it as a symbol first in the first step, but also as an optional place that people can implement their return or at least part of their justice that they deserve, part of their right to come back to this place and their right on their own property.
Thanks. I think, thank you, Omar. No time I forget the massacre. Why? Because I remember the funeral of the old people that killed in the massacre, 29 November for in 1947. I remember that. I mean 29 December. We were sitting on the balcony of our house. Many women and men coming down to the yard of the of the water spring. I asked my mother, she was weeping, why the woman weeping? What is this? My mother said, you ask many questions in difficult time. I kept silent. After that, they prayed in the yard on the funerals and took them to the graveyard. After that, my mother said, you asked me what is this? Why they are weeping? Why are they are sad? These the men killed in the massacre in Saleh Isa coffee, Liftawi's coffee. So I remember that. I want to add to what you said. Yani, now they want to change our village, our beautiful village, for a colonial colony. No time we will keep silent. We will resist. We will struggle. We will go, yani by, we will go to the court as we did in the beginning with the coalition that other groups and activities against the plan. So we will go to the court as we did before. The Israelis made, the Israeli authority made survey, antiquities survey. The result is so good for us, strength us, that Lifta is very rich in its historical heritage. It should stand up, keep, yani, save it. And also, what they said, we found the group that made this, the survey, antiquities survey, they said, we found a new word that we didn't know before. We found Lifta contain 10 levels, historical levels, antiquities. We found 20,000 meter square buildings under the ground and 20,000 meters building on the land. Yani, how you want to remove all these things? We found 6 olive breasts in Lifta. Some of them, since the Roman, Byzantian, and the Crusaders, and also the Ottoman. So this strengthens our position. I mean, in yani when we use the law, but from the main the main point, this is, Lifta is our right. Lifta is our right. It will not be for others. Lifta is our history, our memory, our life. We will not yani leave it. We will not keep silent. So we went to UNESCO. We asked UNESCO to register it. Yes, they registered it in the primary register. But now we, yani, Lifta is a threatened historical heritage. So I am, and you, and he, and she, and everywhere in this world should write to UNESCO, ask UNESCO to keep it as it is now. I know, yani, politically, I want to say not reality, yani to say I want to go. Sure, sooner or later, I'll go home. But meanwhile, I am working to my vision, yani, to keep Lifta as it is now, as I witness on what happened in the Nakba. Lifta, yani, did not destroy it completely in the time of war, should not destroy in the time all the Israelis and United States and the British talking about peace. They are cheating. They are lying. I think this time the West, yani, deal with Lifta in double standard. I know that they can achieve peace. Achieve peace, how? When we go back home, without the refugees, the Palestinian refugees, do not go home, restore their right, I think it's impossible to be peace. No. And the history will not stop. Where is Netanyahu or Bennett, or as it is, didn't stop, where is Hitler or others? It will not stop here. The generations are, yani, know the case more than us. Lifta children, hundreds go to Lifta, and they know every stone, what means. Here is the mosque, here the olive press, here Ali Badr house, here is the graveyard, here is our school. The school I studied in 1 year and 2 months, still a school, but not for me, for the occupier, for Israelis. I think we will never forget that, and the time will, what remain as it is, it will change, and as I said, it will not stop. So also we will not stop. We are moving, we are struggling, and I think as the sun set down, the sun will rise again. I'm sure.
Thank you. Isa, did you have a question you wanted to ask?
Yeah, it's really moving to hear your story, Yacoub. Thank you for giving it to us. And it's important for our viewers and listeners to hear the reality, you know, that affected so many Palestinians. You know, about 800,000 Palestinians were expelled in the same way that you and your family and your, you know, the fellow villagers of Lifta were at the time. You know, 2/3 of the Palestinian people were expelled in this way, and still millions of Palestinian refugees now still remain as refugees to this day. And you know, as you've said, this is the central injustice at the heart of what is happening in Palestine and what is still going on there today, and the successive rounds of Israeli violence. This is what it all stems from, and this is what needs to be readdressed. And Omar, the point that you made, I think, is really, I mean, you made a lot of good points, but one thing I particularly picked up on that I think is important to reiterate in kind of pushing back against Israeli myths is the fact that what the Israelis did, what the Zionist movement did before even Israel was founded in the Nakba, it was pre-planned. It wasn't just a reaction to events. It wasn't, as Israeli mythology still has it often, that it was You know, they claim that it was defensive, which is ludicrous even on the face of it. But the claim is that it was a response to, you know, the so-called invasion of the Arab armies and all this kind of stuff. The key point disproving that, I mean, apart from the whole history when you look at it, but just the key point disproving that is what you said, was that by the 15th of May, even before the 15th of May to, 1948, when the new state of Israel was declared, hundreds of thousands of Palestinians had already been expelled, already by that point. So what the Arab armies did or didn't do is almost irrelevant to that, really. I mean, it is irrelevant to that because it was pre-planned in the Zionist movement from its inception, you know, going back to Theodor Herzl, who, you know, talked of spiriting the penniless population across the border. So, yeah, I mean, I think that is a really important point for people to understand and take forward. But Omar, could you tell us maybe a little bit more about the Israeli mythology and how that when there is villages such as Lifta or remains or ruins of villages that were destroyed or partially destroyed in the Nakba, how are those remains treated and approached in the sort of Israeli official narrative in terms of public parks and history? And are they just completely erased, or are they you know, misidentified, or how is that sort of presented?
Well, first of all, they are not represented. They try to just ignore that, and that's it, and not let the people notice even that. I go through the GNF parks or forests, and I read the signs. It is amazing how they shape the knowledge of the public. The sign inviting the people to go and to visit that point and to see the Roman bath. And you go there and you see Palestinian cemetery in Emwas, for example. And the Roman bath is an old building in the center of the cemetery or the south of the cemetery, but they want you to see only that building and to ignore the whole area around. This is how—
So they're erasing thousands of years of history, basically.
That's right. This is the way how the Israeli official system in educating the Israeli public how to ignore the Palestinian history and heritage. In some places, it's very smart for them to keep one building or a few buildings because they didn't have any special plan what to do with them, or a strong Israeli guy just insisted to have that building or that property. They will say, okay, we didn't say that none of the Arabs or Palestinians were here. Few of them were here. This is the proof, just few people, few buildings, and that's it. They don't want us or the public, of course the Israelis, to believe that a nation was here, a people was here, that deserved their homeland and their property. If they were here, they just were small separated groups and tribes, and they came here recently, accidentally, and they just left because they don't want to live with Jews or something like that. In some cases, we have an amazing quotes of Israeli leaders that in the main road sides, if some Palestinian buildings are still standing, they dealt with that as kind of dirt, kind of obstacle, kind of disturbing the view. Golda Meir said the Palestinian houses of the village of Colonia on the way to Jerusalem, on the side of the main road between Tel Aviv and Jerusalem, may remind the people that that this is not Jewish heritage, so they must be erased. So I think this combination of sometimes to erase that and the other side to use that as a propaganda, we didn't destroy, they were not here. By the way, you can, for example, see maybe 50 to 60 mosques around the country that they didn't destroy. But at the same time, they destroyed 500 or 600 mosques and some churches. they can use the standing of the existing mosque as an example. You see, we did not touch the holy places, which is very smart. By the way, most of these mosques are not used as mosques, or or partly destroyed like the one in Lifta, or converted to synagogue like the one in Nes Ziona, the Israeli town, or to museum like in Kiryat Shmona, the mosque of the village of Al-Khalsa.
I remember seeing a neglected mosque in Tiberias, I think it was, many years ago. And it was in the middle of a sort of shopping precinct area, and it was very clear that this used to be a mosque and it's just sort of been neglected, you know.
Yeah, you're right. So there are different ways how they can, in one side, use for their own propaganda, and the other side, to erase as much as possible the Palestinian history. And all of them we can define as ignorance, as a eraser from the, not only from the landscape, but also from the mentality, from the knowledge of the public.
I want to ask, you know, people hearing this or watching this, and, you know, feeling like they have to, they have to be able to do something. You know, these plans, the Israel Land Authority is opening up public bids for developers to, you know, as Yaqub was talking about, to turn it into like these very, you know, luxury apartments and, you know, shopping centers and hotels. What can people do? What is the most important thing that people can do right now in order to support Palestinians in, you know, who are from Lifta and are struggling to go back, and to hold Israel accountable, you know, not just for this crime of ethnic cleansing, but for the ongoing ethnic cleansing, especially the operations that are happening right now, just, you know, down the street from Lifta in Sheikh Jarrah, in Silwan. What can people do? Maybe Yaqub, I'll start with you.
Okay. You said the Israeli Land Department, it is the main thief that stole the Palestinian property. Everything on why they said, but they are absentee.
Right, the whole absentee the property.
That we are absentee. Yes. I am here and I am not here.
Right.
I am here. I am only 100 meters far from my house. And I have Israeli ID. I haven't the right to go home. But that who came from Australia or Mexico or anywhere in this world has the right to come and to sit instead of me. I think this is will they cheating than the national the world and supporting by USA and all these governments that keep silent in the United Nations. In the best time they keep silent, but many times they agree the Israeli or USA. What the people can do for us. One time I was in USA, I made a speech in 34 activities, 20 of them in universities and 14 in non-government associations. Stop House the Militia. That was the title. They say, why we do not know these facts? I say, why? Yani, the USA television or press, with me in the field, they report. But I don't know what you allowed to hear or not to hear, to read or not to read, to know or not to know. It is up to your government. They said, okay, what we can do? No time I say you what to do, but I say one thing. United States people put an end for the war in Vietnam. So they can put an end for the occupation in Palestine. Why your taxes change from your food or from your effort or from your work for military equipment for the occupier? Why? The gas, the guns, the airplane, military airplanes, everything funded by your taxes. Ask your people in Congress, where is my taxes go? Why we support occupation? Why? So you can put an end for United States people, and also the free, yani world people in the world can also support us by this to banish the occupier. Thank you
so much, Yakub. That's the voice of Yakub Oder. He's a son of Lifta and an ambassador to Lifta's heritage and history. And Omar Al-Ghubari, he's with Zohrot. Omar and Yakub, thank you so much for all of the work that you do. We are struggling.
Omar is the ambassador of Palestine and Lifta. If I am only the ambassador of Lifta, Omar is the ambassador of Lifta and Palestine.
Mabruk, Omar. Thank you both so much. Thank you.
Thank you very much. Thank you. Good night.
Thanks for Isa also.
Thanks for listening to KVOO Portland, 90.7 FM in the Portland metro area and all over the world at KBOO.FM.
KBOO's end of the year drive is happening right now. We invite you to become a member today by going to KBOO.FM.